The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Football at 4. Here's The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
All right, news. ESPN Power Rankings have the Broncos 12, the Chargers 7, the Chiefs 4. So let me just start there. We'll get to the rookie minicamp and ultimately the schedule here for a second. How do you find that? Broncos 12, Chargers 7, Chiefs 4.
I think the Chargers one was a little bit surprising to me. 7 feels, that feels high to me. I don't quite get why the Chargers are all the way up at number 7. Hey, 12 for the Broncos, that feels fantastic. And if we could stay within one or two spots of that the whole season, you know, 11, 13, you're going to have a good year. I got the Broncos as being a wild card team with 10 wins. 10 is debatable whether that's going to be enough to get in or not. I think in the AFC it is, because I think there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to cannibalize themselves this year, so I think 10 wins is going to be enough. But if you're sitting there around 12, 13, you're going to be a playoff-bound team. But obviously what that's saying is that the odds makers out there, they're showing a lot of respect to the Broncos already. Chargers at 7, though. I don't agree with that.
Boy, people love Justin Herbert, man.
Okay.
People just love him.
I love Justin Herbert, too. Who's a better quarterback? Who right now, this year? Who's a better quarterback, Russell Wilson or Justin Herbert?
Oh, man.
That's not hard. Don't overthink this one. Are you serious right now? In this year, you got to win 12 games.
All right, Russell Wilson.
Wow, I mean, you settled on that though. You feel defeated by
saying it.
That's not even complicated to me at all. Well, that's a different question.
Next 3 years, who would you rather have?
Who would I rather have over the long term? I'd rather have Justin Herbert. That's a different question, though. I asked for this year right now because I'm talking about these rankings. The Denver Broncos at 12, the Chargers at 7. Russell Wilson is more accomplished.
All right.
And he's better right now. Justin Herbert, what's he ever done? Nothing. I mean, he's got a great arm. He's a great player. He looks like he's going to be on a Hall of Fame type of path. Russell Wilson already is a Hall of Famer. If you could give me the choice between those two guys, of course I would take Herbert because of the youth.
You know, I was playing this game with Mace out at a rookie minicamp on Saturday. We were doing the same exact thing.
Yeah.
And we got to this moment here and we ultimately took Wilson, but we had this like moment of debate and conversation. It was kind of like, well, who is Russell Wilson like compared to everybody right now? And we had him about 5 or 6.
Well, Russell Wilson is ready to capitalize now. Now it might take a little bit of time with Nathaniel Hackett as a first time head coach and all of that. But he's ready to win championships. That's the quarterback that you've got with the Denver Broncos. Justin Herbert, he's not ready to win championships.
Well,
Justin Herbert's ready to be exciting.
Do you have him far behind Russell Wilson?
Well, he's number 3. So, I mean, if I'm just doing the AFC West, I mean, I haven't thought all the way through all the quarterbacks in the NFL.
Would you flip those two? Would you have the Broncos at 7 and the Chargers at 12?
No, I wouldn't have either one of them at 7. I think that's awfully high for either one of those teams. The Chargers are maybe, if you want to say the Chargers are better than the Broncos, then I'd put them at 11. I'd put them at 10, somewhere just slightly above the Denver Broncos. But at 7, no, I don't think that either one of those teams have earned the right to be considered a top 10 team just yet.
All right, you want to have some fun? Just go through this real quick for my benefit. Do we have everybody else, like everybody else's prediction?
So, of course, you know, it's the same old story. We did the rapid fire. Reaction to the schedule.
Yeah.
And everybody pops in and they're like, oh, okay, we're playing Seattle week 1. That's cool. I feel good about that. Nobody's given their predictions and I'm hearing you in the back of my mind.
Let's go.
So the first thing I said when I got in on air, I'm like, 10 and 7. Look, all the rest of these guys are not putting their names on it. I'm putting my name on it. I asked Richie to track down the fellas.
Oh, yeah?
Richie, you got like 5 or 6, I don't know, you got 4 or 5 guys with their predictions. I know you texted it to me, but if you could try to remind me what everybody's predictions were, That would be awesome.
I love sports talk hosts that I don't want to give you my official prediction yet. It's like, what fun are you?
Right.
Relax. It's May. Nobody's
going to hold you to this. Yeah, by the way, like, information is going to come. You can evolve your opinion as information comes in. But today, have a little fun.
You're not going to be on trial with Johnny Depp next week. Don't worry about it.
Oh, man. Have you watched any of that?
I've watched all of it by this point. I'm up to speed.
I actually watched a little bit today,
There's two things I can talk about. Ozark and the Johnny Depp trial. Thanks to our listeners in Evergreen for making 104.3 The Fan part of your day. Well, I'm not going to hesitate. Let's hear the music. Let's go through the predictions. And Broncos Seattle, that's a W for the Broncos right there.
That's going to be a tough W. It's going to be a tough game out there in Seattle in week one. But I agree. I got that as a W.
Texans.
Do you want mine or are we just doing yours? Sorry.
Let me just do mine real quick and then we can recap with everybody.
Sure.
Because I'll do this fast. Texans at Broncos, W for the Broncos there. 49ers at Broncos. We're starting off 3-0. Broncos at the Raiders. McDaniels, unfortunately, gets a victory there. Colts at Broncos. Oh, that's a W. 4-1 we're going to start. We're going to feel good. Broncos at Chargers. That's probably an L. And then we're Jets at Broncos. Easy W. Broncos at the Jags. Easy W. Broncos at the Titans, that's a loss. Raiders at the Broncos, that's a W for the Broncos. Broncos at the Panthers, that's a W. Broncos at the Ravens, that's a loss. Those games always suck in Baltimore. Chiefs at Broncos, that's a loss, unfortunately. Although, I don't know. Cardinals at Broncos, that's a W. Broncos at the Rams, that's a loss. Broncos at the Chiefs, that's a W. That's going to shock the world there. And Broncos hosting the Chargers to wrap up the season. That is a W. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, baby.
Okay.
I got him 11-6.
So we're off by one. Woo! Ironically, we had the exact same hot take that I'm not even sure that you realized. Actually, you did realize it was a hot take. You said it's going to shock everybody. I got the Broncos losing to the Chiefs at home. They're not ready to sweep the Chiefs. But I got the Broncos winning on the road because ideally you're peaking late in the season as you're going into the playoffs. And I really do firmly believe that's going to happen. So I got them splitting with them. I got the Broncos at 10 wins.
Who do you have?
Well, we had two games that were different.
All right, talk to me.
I got the Broncos losing to the 49ers. Now, I don't know who the quarterback's going to be just yet. If you told me it's going to be Trey Lance, I'll put that as a W for the Broncos. But I think Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be starting. I think that's the first tough loss. What did you have for the Colts? I got that as an L for the Broncos.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I got that as a W.
Okay.
But I hesitate on that one.
Yeah, that's a tough game, man.
If that was in Indy, that's a Sunday night game too. Nah, we'll be all right for that. If that was in Indy, I may feel differently.
Well, it's actually a Thursday night game. So
Thursday night. That's what I meant.
And that really helps you with the win. When I first made my prediction, I didn't realize it was a Thursday night game. I kind of want to change it right now. I'm not going to just yet because, in theory, I don't think the Broncos are going to be ready that early in the season for really good teams. I think the Colts are going to be really good. But Thursday night at home games, that's the biggest advantage in football.
Jeez, I just did that kind of organically. I swear that I have not done that little exercise. So write that in there. 11-6.
Okay.
I'm pretty happy with 11-6.
Well, that's...
I can't sell you on that one.
Well, I got them at 10, so sure you could sell
me on
that.
So that would be your 11-6 if they can win that Thursday night game?
Well, I got I got a few turning point games, like, to turn a good season into a great season.
All right, let's hold on to that.
I got three of those.
All right, let's go through that, and we'll recap everything that happened during rookie minicamp coming up next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.
It's The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac on Denver's sports station 104.3 The Fan.
All right, let's go through the schedule just a little bit, if you indulge me here. So I got them at 11-6. You have three turning point games. What are your games there? Tell me. What do you got?
So first off, even at 10 wins, I would call that a successful year. It's not a dominating year. But in year one, if you make it to the playoffs with a new coach and Russell Wilson in the first year here, I would call that a success considering the AFC West and the fact that you got to play the NFC West, which has got some good teams in it. So I wouldn't be disappointed by 10-7 at all. Let me just start with that. So I would consider 10-7 a successful year. But there's a few games in here that I think are realistic bubble type of wins that if you could find a way to win them, you go from a good year to a fantastic year. It would be a 13-win season, right, if you win all three of them. The first one for me would be that would be the 49ers game. I think a low-key, really tough game. Maybe it's not going to be that tough. Maybe Trey Lance is starting, and he's just not ready to rock and roll. You do have them at home. That makes it a winnable game, but that would be my first one. The second one would be the Colts game. That's a Thursday night game. You could argue you should win that game. I just happen to think the Colts are going to be dang good. They had the most Pro Bowlers in the NFL last year. I got all kinds of respect for Matt Ryan. I think he's going to be the right quarterback for that team, and I expect
you
him to
love,
be.
You do love Matt Ryan.
Yeah, I expect them to be a really dang good team. But that's number two. And then the third one would be out in Baltimore. That's an interesting one. You know, you play the Baltimore Ravens late in the season. I think that's a good thing. I do. You know, Lamar Jackson, we know who he is. We know what that style of play, how that adds up over the course of the season. I'm certainly not hoping for any sort of injury for Lamar Jackson. I'm definitely not. I hope he stays healthy. But your body takes a toll by the time you get that late in the year. If you could find a way to sneak one out there in Baltimore, you win even two of those. You win 12 games this year. That's a fantastic season. And D-Mac, I think of those three, I would say two of those three is very, very realistic. You could beat the 49ers at home. You could beat the Colts at home. And all of a sudden, that's a great year.
What are the games that we got to travel to?
So
let's go through this. Do we got to be at that Seahawks game?
Yes. Oh, you saying at station? Well, there's a few really fun ones. Obviously, the London one.
Is that really, really?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
I'm sort of souring.
Well, okay, I'm glad you're coming around. You're finally having some common sense that the London game sucks for everybody. I mean,
first of all, it's against the Jags.
Yeah.
Second of all,
it scares me. That game scares me. Anything can happen in those London games. Anything can happen. I think that's a no-brainer that you got to travel to. I think the Seattle one's a no-brainer.
Yeah, and I love the Seattle one.
Vegas, to me, that feels like yearly. Like, the fans should charter a plane, and we should fly out with fans. We could all go on the same plane. That should just be a yearly thing.
October 2nd, I love the timing of that. And the fourth week of the season in October?
Yeah.
In Vegas?
Right.
Perfect. Actually, what weekend would not be perfect in Vegas?
Well, the day after Christmas was not ideal last year. I'll tell you that, Tyler.
I was there for it. It's pretty good. Flew out the next day. Flew it out on December 26th.
How many Broncos fans would you say were there the day after Christmas?
The plane was packed.
I mean, I know you're guessing. Put a number on it. In the stadium.
12,000?
Okay.
I don't know. Mean, I mean, it was like, it was packed.
Well, that's a lot. My guess, D-Mac,
maybe more?
At the beginning part of the year, the end of October there, I think you'll have maybe, 24,000. That's a lot.
Maybe not
double. But you're gonna have a significantly more amount of fans than it would be after that day after Christmas.
We're watching Dionne Warwick and their Psychic Friends Hotline sing songs with that great band. That game, hey man. Well, listen, you don't have to twist my arm. I think we should go to the at Raiders game every year as a group and get the fans flight out going again.
Sure, let's go. You know what's interesting about this year's schedule?
Why not?
The AFC West is going to be the AFC West. And for the most part, I think most teams are going to split down the AFC West. They're all good teams. They're all going to find a way to win. I've got the Broncos sweeping the Raiders, but, we'll see what happens there. I think this might be a very unique year. in which the most important games are actually going to be out of the AFC West. It's what you do against the NFC West. It's what you do with your other games. Because who can get, by the time you get to the second half of the season, we got a lot of AFC West games in the second half of the season. It kind of feels like who can come out unscathed from the other parts of their schedule and enter the AFC West, knowing that most teams are going to go Splitsville, is kind of what happens outside of it this year.
Listen, I want to go see SoFi. I know it's on Christmas Day, so maybe that's a little rocky. But we can see the Chargers October 17th at SoFi. That could be fun. By the way, low-key awesome game.
Nashville?
We got to go to Nashville. I got to get you guys to Nashville.
Oh, Nashville would be great.
We got it. We got to stay at the Hilton because that's right on Broadway. Now I know exactly how to do Nashville.
Well, we've come up with about four must attend road games. I'll tell you, I generally speaking attend zero road games. But hey, if we want to go to four this year, I'm down. Let's go.
Who would be fun in Nashville? We could take Zach, Stoke. We got to take Stoke to Nashville.
I think everybody would be fun in Nashville. Oh. Nashville is one of those towns that it brings out fun in everybody.
Can't have any sticks in the mud. Who would be a stick in the mud? Can't hear about why you got to go in or what you got to do. Stinks out because he's, you know, Mr.
Well, Stinks working.
Mr. TV guy, right?
Stinks calling a game. So,
Evans? Would Evans have fun?
Heck yeah, Evans would have fun.
Evans would be all right. Would Chad have fun?
You tell me, buddy. You know Chad a little bit better than I. I would assume Chad would have fun in Nashville.
I'm not sure. Maybe.
Nate Jackson. I mean, you put that guy around music.
Are you kidding me?
He's having fun, even if he doesn't like country.
Dude, there were so many karaoke stages that you could go up on.
Right.
I mean, are you kidding me?
It's my favorite part of their show, coming out of break, just hearing Nate, rap out of coming out of break every time. That's the best part.
Stokely would be leading the charge.
Oh, he'd be great.
Are you kidding me?
He'd never go to sleep. He'd be that guy that you're feeling, like you try to go back to the hotel at like 3 a.m. and he's going to be guilting you.
Low-key awesome game.
Oh, yeah.
Titans game.
Nashville's awesome.
Nashville is awesome. Had such a good time there. Predators, boy, they put up a fight.
Mm.
Oh, I got something for you. I got something for you. Do we have time? I got something for you. For you specifically from Nashville.
Nice.
The craziest thing.
All right.
I'm just
hitting
me.
Gifts.
All right. And we can get into the Avs talk a little
bit.
This
gift,
is perfect.
Right?
1,000%.
Okay,
and
good.
I think you're going to love it.
I love Christmas. Let's go.
All right. We'll do that coming up next. Got to hang around for this.
You're listening to The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac on Denver's sports station, 104.3 The Fan.
Bro country. It's my kind of country.
Yeah, buddy. Welcome aboard, man. It's good to have you.
I know what I like.
It took you experiencing the live in-person experience to get there, but you've arrived.
Up, down, up, down, up, down.
Take that, Nate Jackson.
All right, so our time in Nashville was short, and we want to thank all the citizens for hosting us because your team lost four straight games and two in a row there. The Predators media people were so unbelievably nice. I'm sure you saw the video. Did you see the video that I did of the gift bag?
I did. Okay. I did, yeah.
I got so much stuff in here.
Okay, now that I know it came from the gift bag,
yeah.
So you're going to re-gift something that you got from the Preds, okay?
Yeah, because when you sell it and then the person burns it, I'm not going to feel as bad.
Okay. I'm thinking I'm going to get the tape measure. I think that's one
Let's
for me.
Let's go!
Yeah?
I was going to give you the tape measure.
Okay, buddy.
Look at this thing.
Yeah.
I mean, describe that.
I mean, this is solid. This is a DeWalt Tough Series 35-foot tape measure.
Look hefty that is.
This is the real deal, man. I mean, you can stick this thing. You know what's great about these? You can stick it out about 20 feet. It doesn't bend. You know,
look at that.
Just keep going. I'm going to poke the window over there. It's never going to bend.
And look how heavy and just durable that feels.
How far can I get? Wow.
I don't know.
Yeah. This is the real deal, man.
Right?
This is a,
is that a man's tape measure or what?
That's a man's tape measure. I love it.
Look at that thing.
Oh, it looks like it's even got some scissors on there or something. Like,
you know what I'm talking about?
Wow. I don't think I've ever owned a tape measure so nice. This is one of the greatest gifts I've ever received.
From me to you. So you're not going to sell that to Stokely and have him burn it in a fire?
Absolutely not. I'm going to use this sucker. I'm a project guy. Like, I love building. I love doing stuff. I learn on YouTube. It takes me about 5 or 6 different tries to get there.
Yeah.
My wife gets mad that I won't just hire somebody, but I get there eventually. I love projects.
And you know who
this
I
is
am.
Way better than a Nolan jersey.
You're going to at least use it.
Oh, I'm going to use this all the
and
time.
And I saw it. I'm like, this is the most amazing thing, and I will never, ever, ever in a million years use it for anything for myself.
Best part? I actually lost a tape measure this
weekend.
Get
out of here.
I did. I couldn't find it anywhere. I was going nuts.
I don't know if you want any of the rest of this crap.
What else we got?
We got some.
Oh, we got some.
Oh, you know what we got?
What?
Well, they gave this to us. They gave us a little shooter of Jack Daniels.
Oh, nice. Nice. that's interesting. At the game, they gave you shooters.
They gave the shooters in the game.
Hey, Preds are about to get their brains beat in. Why don't you just take a few of these shots real quick? Maybe you'll write a nicer article about us.
I don't know. I'll take that home, I guess.
Wow. I feel good about this.
I think you got the best thing. The rest of it, I got.
You got some seasoning, I see.
Yeah. I might take that home, though. Unless you want it. I mean, I got two of them. You want one of them?
I love the smoker now.
There you go.
I spend a lot of time out there cooking.
Courtesy of the Predator.
Burger shake, okay.
Yeah, don't say they didn't give us anything. The rest of it's just gum.
That's pretty unique. The Preds give out a goodie bag package for all the media members.
Yeah, with a little shooter of Jack Daniels.
Is that like bribery? Is that what that is?
Oh.
Like, hey, if we give you nice stuff, you won't write bad things?
I almost felt bad for the Nuggets media people because they're looking at all of us go gaga over this stuff, and they're like, ew. Do we have to do gift bags now?
I've never been given a tape measure when I went to the Nuggets game.
I've never been given a gift. This I can't even say how cool this was. So I'm not anticipating this in St. Louis whatsoever, but courtesy of the Predators.
This is the type of tape measure you build a house with. You know?
Right?
Yeah.
Maybe the lousier your opponent is, the more they're just going to give you cool stuff to say good things about them.
The shooter was a little
shooter.
Bit surprising.
We were shocked. I did not see anybody, the muggles, on
partake.
I did not see any partake.
They might have took it to the bathroom or something.
They hosted us at the Acme Feed and Supply, which is another 4-story incredible bar restaurant with music on every floor.
Right.
Free everything. Where their combination was barbecue and sushi.
Mm. That's now I've never put barbecue on my sushi before.
Dude.
I'm wondering. No, that sounds terrible, actually.
Yeah, I didn't put barbecue on the sushi, but.
You a sushi guy? You like sushi?
Oh, yeah.
I love sushi.
Oh, my God.
My wife doesn't like sushi, so it doesn't.
What?
We don't get to go to sushi very often.
From Boston.
She
like the fish?
She likes lobster and steamers. That's it. Steamers. I didn't know what steamers were until I started dating my wife.
Clams, baby.
Yeah.
Ipswich clams.
No, she's not huge on the clams. Steamers.
Steamers are clams.
They're like the little mini teeny tiny ones.
Does she like the long neck steamers?
You got to pull the neck off.
Do you like the long neck or the short necks?
Oh, I'm not sure.
I
know that you got to pull the neck off.
Yeah.
But then you get to eat the neck. It's weird. It's very gross.
You can eat it. It's like rubbery.
It's a very gross looking object that you dunk it in water to get all
the
salt water off of
it.
And then you put it in butter.
Right.
Right.
And it just tastes great because now you're just eating butter.
Yeah.
Basically eating a clam in butter.
Right.
Yeah. Not fried though. Just the steamers are just, you know. That's Ipswich. That's what we do there at Ipswich.
There you go.
Then this is all the clamming.
Right. Come over on Christmas Eve. We do some lobster.
The steamers.
And not every year do we do the steamers, but every now and then, special touch.
How, what are you expecting out of the Avs here against St. Louis?
You know, everybody's talking up this. It's been, 20 years, maybe 21 years since the Avalanche been out of the second round. That's a long time.
Isn't that crazy?
I mean, that is... That's insane to think about that, actually.
It's insane.
They've had some good teams now. They've also had a few eras where they were not very good. But, I mean, for 21 years, the Avalanche have not been able to get out of the second round. It's not on my mind at all. Not at all, man. I looked at that, what they did, and I know it's almost the exact same thing, by the way. Last year, what did they do in round one? They swept them.
Yeah.
What did they do when they got to round two? I kind of forgot about this until I reminded myself of what happened. Actually, Matt Smith reminded me, to be specific. The Avs got up 2-0 against Vegas last year.
Well, let's be even more specific. They blew out the Golden Knights like 7-1 in the first game, and the Golden Knights played their backup goalie because they didn't have any rest. So they were just like, they kind of threw game one.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. I do remember that now. They were resting the guy, and it was kind of like, look, we'll hand you this one. Hopefully we make it up on the back end. Right. So the Avalanche, they were doing the exact same thing last year. And when we got to round two last year, I didn't think that they were going to lose. Certainly did not, especially once they got up 2-0.
Right.
But it's just not even in the back of my mind. And, you know, it's a weird thing because most of the time, in order to have a game from a previous year matter, you got to have the majority of everybody back. Well, the Avs do have the majority of their superstars back. On paper, they were actually weaker this year in depth than they were last year, but it proved out to be a better team this year. I believe in them. Listening to Gabe, listening to Coach Bednar, the way they handled that series against Nashville. Honestly, D-Mac, I'm expecting this thing to be about as easy as it was against Nashville. Maybe it's not a sweep. Maybe they lose one, maybe even two. But it should be an outright dominant performance. You know the Blues are going to try to get physical on them. Nashville did that. The Avalanche are ready for that. They're going to skate around it. They've just got too much talent. Gabe talked about it on our show today. He talked about all the weapons they got.
Well, we did have a great interview with Gabe Landeskog, and we'll replay a significant portion of that after 5 o'clock. Also after 5, our new guy, who's an older guy around here, Andrew Mason, joins the fan staff. So Mace will drop in after 5 talking about the Broncos and what we saw at rookie minicamp. In fact, to give us the latest news on all of that, we got our guy Mike Kliss. He's coming up next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
What would somebody have to do, though, to stand out in that group?
It's the little things. You try to teach your kids and kids in high school, you know, get to the front of the line and lead the group. Like, stuff like that. It's something so simple.
Yeah.
Asking questions and having the ability to put yourself out there and raise your hand and asking questions in front of all these guys. Because at the end of the day, you know, are you trying to better yourself? And the guys that have the confidence to step up and take over that leadership ability, that's something that I always look for. And, you know, there's some guys that did that this week.
That was Saturday with Coach Outen. I really like him, by the way, Tyler. Really good dude. I like all the assistant coaches. Coach Stooks, that is must-listen-to press conference right there with him.
That's an intense dude. He's a very typical special teams coach. They all sound like that. But he's clearly a little bit different. He's got a little bit different energy than Nathaniel Hackett.
Evro, that dude, 1,000% will be a head coach. He's got that. Right off the bat, you can tell he's got that rare blend of leadership skill, the way he can present things, respect, and knowledge to do it. That dude's a head coach.
Yeah.
I don't know about Alan. Stooks probably not. But Evero, for sure, 100%. But I think Alan's going to be a very honest, compelling counterbalance to Hackett. And what he said right there, the reason why I was laughing asking that question, talk about things just don't change, Tyler, from when you coach a 5-year-old about how to be. And then if I hope coaches were listening to that. I hope players were listening to that.
Yeah.
I mean, you're hearing that at this level. It's the cliche, I know. But they bring it up time after time.
Well, Outen's going to be, he's just going to be an extension of Nathaniel Hackett. I'd actually be shocked if he ever says anything that's really contrary to what Nathaniel Hackett says. You know, I got a chance to hang out with Mason Crosby this weekend. And we had this alumni deal for Gary Barnett. They had Northwestern guys there and CU guys.
Awesome.
I was actually shocked that Mason made his way out. He took a vet day. They've got OTA today. He's going to miss it. But got to talk to him for a long time about Nathaniel Hackett, and you know, got some really good insight. Some stuff I'll keep to myself. I'll share some of it, but you know, could not speak any higher. He still talks to him like he's still talking to him right now to this day. He really thinks that Nathaniel Hackett was the glue to their team. And you know, some interesting observations about personalities, work styles, the time they'll be in the building. I'll break it all down for you a little bit later after we get on the other side here. But, you know, just couldn't spoken any higher about Nathaniel Hackett. And honestly, he's worried about what it's like without Hackett on their team.
Interesting. You know? Now, of course, talent trumps it all. But this rookie weekend – First of all, there's the drafted guys. Okay, that goes without saying. Especially the high drafted guys, lower drafted guys got to sweat it out. Then you have your undrafted guys that have been signed. Okay, well, one or two of those guys is going to make it, right? Then you have your undrafted, unsigned, about a dozen tryout guys. Mm-hmm. And Tyler, it's just like, whoa. Like, what? How high are the odds stacked against these dudes? And what in the world do you have to do to stand out? I mean, what chance do you possibly have?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Broncos had to bring in a quarterback just to have rookie minicamp going on. They didn't have a rookie quarterback to be out there. So you bring in a lot of guys. You usually do end up signing two or three of those guys for the offseason. Very rarely do they actually make the active roster, but they do usually sign a few of them for the offseason.
It's just the journey. Well, it's my... buttering you up. My respect for what you've done is actually when I just see how difficult it really is.
Well, you got to get lucky. You got to get lucky. Guys that are in my shoes, Mason and I were talking about this. Hugh Charles and I were talking about this. You got to be lucky. And to be in my shoes, you have to get an opportunity. And not all guys get that opportunity.
Brutal. Our 9 News Broncos insider is Mike Kliss joining us courtesy of Bed River Sportsbook. Maybe I'll just start there, Mike, from that rookie minicamp. Were there any kind of surprises? Was there anybody that stood out more than anybody else whose name we don't know that we should?
You know, if you watch the rookie minicamp, you know, sometimes it's about performance and practice, and sometimes it's just about getting your work in. I mean, these guys are out on the field for an hour. And that's with the stretch, and that's with the, you know, the individual drills, position drills. It was the only kind of team-like that they did was six offensive guys against air on one field and, you know, the shell defense, six defensive guys against air offense, and they're just running through the plays. I don't know how you can get a, you know, a surprise out of something, you know, something like that. I said on the morning show, Jalen V. Hill, I think is his name, receiver, number 13. I saw him make a couple nice catches. You know, I don't know if that means anything or not. You know, none of the tryout guys were signed, and there have been quite a few tryout guys signing around the league. Wow. Broncos brought in 11. You know, but really, guys, it's they pick so late in the draft this year. This should not be a stellar rookie class. And, you know, I hate to burst the bubbles or anything, but, you know, they didn't pick till number 64. And their second pick wasn't till number 80. Those are the only two picks they had in the top 100.
Mm-hmm.
And so Nick Benito and Greg Dulcich are going to be really the only two guys that got a chance to make an impact in 2022. Mathis, the cornerback, you know, I think he can do some special teams type stuff. Also in the fourth round. Montrell Washington, you know, the punt returner. And he hustles. I'll say this on Montrell Washington. He really seemed to have a burst on the special teams drills. And they did have a long segment of special teams drills. So it was 15 minutes of the practice. And all these guys are going to have to play special teams. Maybe not Benito. Maybe he will. You know, that's where you really saw these guys put in a lot of effort. But it's, you know, it's attacking a medicine ball. And so if there was a surprise out of there, I'm not smart enough to find them.
All right.
Right. Mike, give us the update on what's happening with Jerry Jeudy right now. You know, we know a little bit more. Let us know what happened after he made his appearance at court. And then now that you know some information, do you think the NFL will get involved with this situation or not?
Yeah, the NFL will look into it. I'm fairly certain. Let's see how it all plays out. I mean, it looks like momentum is, you know, and you never judge a jury, and it's up to the district attorney. But there's some momentum here that the case might be dismissed based on the fact that the victim spoke. Now, I know the victim speaking is by herself or himself is not enough for a district attorney to drop because they recant all the time in domestic violence cases. But the DA will still press charges. And right now, the judge found probable cause to continue with the charges. But as far as the NFL, I think they're going to wait to see how it plays out in court. If it were to get dismissed or he's found innocent, I don't think they'll do anything. If it winds up where he's pleased to something, if he pleads guilty, he probably would get a 2-game suspension, something like that. I'd be surprised if he pleads guilty there with Harvey Steinberg as his lawyer, though.
Right.
Hi, Mike. We appreciate it. Our own Mike Kliss, our 9 News Broncos insider, courtesy of Bet Rivers Sportsbook. It's been obviously a difficult week for me. And if you want to get updated, we talked about it extensively. And you can go to denverfan.com and you can see that. It's a lot easier if you just go there and then recap and everything. But yesterday, you know, being back here in Colorado was so great, Tyler. What a great state we have. And just beautiful day. So I went to the greatest place on earth after the Avs practice. Went to the Avs practice.
You were at Folsom Field with me?
No, I was not at Folsom Field.
That's where I was yesterday.
The greatest place on earth?
That's right.
No. Took my bike, did the Cherry Creek Trail downtown, went to the Avs practice. My wife met me in the parking lot there at Ball Arena. Then we went to the greatest place on earth.
Where's that?
McGregor Square.
Ah, nice, nice. You got some time in at McGregor.
We were going to go to the game.
What was on the TV?
It was like the fourth inning. They were losing 6-0.
So they had the Rockies on.
Gosh,
stinking Rockies. Slowly but surely becoming what they're supposed to be.
It's 6-0, and we're like, forget it. And we jokingly said, if it goes to extra innings, maybe we'll walk, you know, across the street and go into the game. Joking. But we were fine to have our, you know, McGregor Square moment and enjoying everything that comes with that. They score 7 runs to take a 1-run lead.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. And we're like, this is incredible. And we're sitting there. We're having the greatest time. We're watching on the big screen. There were a lot of people out there. Everybody was cheering. Everybody was having a good time. Everybody was into it. And then Daniel Bard came out there and blew it. And they lose 8-7.
All that comes back for nothing.
He gives up 2 runs in the top of the ninth.
Wow. That's a typical game for the Colorado Rockies, right? I mean, you get down 6-0, you fight back, you claw. They are tough enough that they're keeping it interesting. This might be the last moment that they're over 500. I saw Will Peterson write that article on DenverFan.com today.
I just wanted to check where are you with your Colorado Rockies right now?
Oh, I'm definitely fading. There's no question about it.
What is making you fade?
I'm a bandwagon fan. They've lost 7 out of the last 9, like that.
Well, they've lost 6 of their last 7, so it might be 7. Okay.
Something along those lines. Right. This is slowly but surely about the point where I start to drop off. So I said I'm going to continue to pay attention as long as they're over 500. I have been doing that, although I've been paying a little bit less attention. I didn't watch any of the game yesterday. I didn't see any of that.
Why would you? They were losing 6-0.
Well, yeah, I was at the greatest place in America. That's where I was. Okay. You know, you said that. It was pretty easy. Of course I wasn't watching it. But they're slowly but surely doing it. So we'll see what happens here, man.
Do you know who they have now? It's home, but so they play the Giants, who are tied for first place with the Dodgers, who just swept the Rockies, by the way, last week in San Francisco. Then they play the Mets, which I think have the third best record in Major League Baseball. 6 games at home, all at home, but against 2 really good teams. Sensatella on the bump tonight at 6:40.
Okay.
They're in.
Is this the last time they're over 500?
They're in 5th place right now, and they're at 500. They're in the only division where every single team is at 500 or better.
Right.
So they're only 4.5 games out of first place. But they're in last place right now.
Yeah. You know, that's what you thought, right? That's when the season began. When you, if you said last place, that doesn't sound surprising to me. The only thing that's been surprising is that they've kept it relevant up to this point. They might just be gritty enough that they stay around this mark all year long. And it's not about, maybe making a wild card appearance would be, that'd be an outright miracle. But, you know, it's just about keeping us entertained at this point. That's what the Rockies are.
It was entertaining. I mean, they were down 6-0 and took a 7-6 lead and then blew it.
Right.
It was entertaining. They lost, but it was entertaining. Mark,
appreciate that. All that comeback for nothing. Man, as a teammate, you're like, holy cow, rally caps, baby. We got this. We're fighting our way back. Kaboom.
Dude, it was crazy. So we're sitting there at McGregor, and we're at a table, and three people, I think it was a husband, wife, and daughter, maybe, or friend, I don't know. And they went to the game. And they were there. I go, well, what are you doing here? Why aren't you in at the game? Because at the time, the Rockies were leading. Oh, we left when it was 4-0. And I go, you only made it a block. You only walked one block away from, like, why would you leave?
Imagine it's baseball. What is so surprising about this?
It's McGregor Square.
Yeah, okay.
You leave one thing to just go next door to the other thing.
Gotcha.
Which is the greatest place on earth.
Sure.
Next to the rooftop.
Right.
And this is more or less why the Rockies will just lose all year and everybody will still go out on a sunny day and enjoy. We had a great time, my wife and I.
Hey, some things are just science. Some things are just science, and people are going to show up to Coors Field. That's science.
They're going to show up.
Yeah.
But it's the seasons. Oh, man. Well, we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. I'm hearing Spilly do the updates now on the radio station. And he just started these updates when they started doing so bad.
Right.
I felt bad.
Okay, things are going well. Let's, Spilly, you want to come, do some updates?
By the way, I think I'm going to start doing a podcast with Patrick Saunders.
Oh, nice.
So I'm still going to be digging into the Rockies.
There you go.
That'll
be cool. No, that's good. So we got hockey covered with Mike Evans. We got basketball with Zach. And you're going to cover the baseball. That's awesome.
Right. We'll see how that podcast does. I'll see you at the award ceremony.
Right.
It's KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont, Denver. It's just after 5:00. Yes, sir.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.